Welcome to Yala Rocks. Shayla is a dancer from the Czech Republic who fell in love with Egypt, and especially the folklore of the country. Fanoun Shabeya, her latest documentary film, focuses on Egyptian traditional artists and folklore, which she'll be discussing with us today. She'll explore the significance of folklore, the importance of studying with people from the cultures, and how we can approach this heritage with respect and appreciation while dancing folklore. It's foundational to any style of belly dance. Yes, even fusion. There is so much to learn and appreciate at the roots of this dance, as you'll hear from Shayla. To learn more about Shayla and the wonderful work that she does, you can check out her challenge today, which plays wonderfully off of this episode, and the links to all of the places that she likes to hang out online at thebellydancebundle.com/110.
Hi, I'm Shayla, and welcome to the podcast, where I would like to take you for a journey to captivating world of Egyptian folklore. I'm studying folklore and do an independent research for more than 15 years. Regularly, I travel to Egypt and share my experiences and knowledge with dancers across the globe, all resulted in creating a documentary about traditional artists of music and dance in Egypt called Fanoun Shabeya. Folklore is a term for distinctive musical, verbal, dance, and dramatic manifestations of the culture of integrated groups of the population, such as rural or urban. So this is important to understand that folklore can be connected with one small group of people who shares ethnicity or some region in a country, in Egypt or anywhere in the world. And for them, there's some traditions, dance traditions, music traditions, and different kind of traditions connected. And it's typical and specific for this area, for these people. But there's also another term that's character dance. And that term says that these folkloric dances are taken to the stage and are created as a performance with movements from ballet, contemporary movements. So it shows a little bit of the folklore, but mostly it's already adjusted to the theater. So in Egypt, and probably almost everywhere in the world, we will see folklore dancing that is happening naturally, and social events like weddings and religious celebrations. And then we have character dancing, also called theater dance, can be different terms about the same actually type of dance, but different terms that we use for the same thing. So where do we see the dancing or the folklore dancing in Egypt? I already mentioned that it is social dance. Social dancing happens in natural environments. So people are dancing together at a wedding. It's not something they prepared. They are not trained professionals, and it happens naturally. It exists within the culture. It's deeply connected together. It lives and dies within people of the culture. Then we have some local artists, local professionals that are trained, usually in their own dance style, the tradition they do. For example, it could be Karia Mazin, that she's very well known. So she's a local artist. It also happens in a natural environment. She is performing at her local area. People hire her for different celebrations. And it will not exist without the culture. It's again deeply connected. So you need to have the audience from the culture to make a living as a local artist. Then we have regional troops. Regional troops are in Egypt in almost all main cities, like in Alexandria, in Luxor, in Aswan. They're mainly focused on their location, their region. So you will see, for example, in Aswan, where Nubians live, you will see a lot of Nubian choreographies, but sometimes many of these troops are having also other dance styles of Egypt in their repertoire, maybe not so strong like their own from the region. Regional troops are trained professionals, so it looks different from the social events where we have the local artists, for example. And these regional troops are performing at bigger celebrations, bigger stages at cultural festivals, and their audience is already mixed. It's not just local people, it could be tourists. It could be different people from different social backgrounds. So it could be rich people from Cairo. It could be people from villages It really depends. Then we have national troops, probably very well known. We have two in Egypt, the Reda troop and the Komeya troop, or Firkat Komeya in short. And they are another level of stage rapport. They're performing at bigger celebrations. They're performing at theaters such as the Balloon Theater in Cairo, very famous. They are trained professionals and they are employed by Ministry of Culture. So they work for the government, and they are not performing at small events in the villages, not for locals. So they have a different repertoire. It's very adjusted for the theater. So in short, these are the places, or these are the types of dancing we can see in Egypt. And I want to say that the folklore in Egypt is very much alive. Just about some rumors that some dancers say, well, nobody's dancing folklore in Egypt. Nobody cares about folklore. It's not true. If you travel to Egypt, go and see yourself. Go to the wedding. You'll see lots of traditions going on, music and dancing as well. So the folklore in Egypt is not something that we go to museum to see, but it's living, it's alive. And it also changes within the people, not with the intervention from outside, but it changes. Of course, there are some dance styles or traditions that disappeared already. And some of those we can see now will probably disappear, or they will change, they will evolve. There will be new traditions. And this is what happens naturally. So to truly understand and appreciate Egyptian folklore, we have to study with individuals from the culture, with locals, local artists, such as, for example, Kyria Mazin. I will mention her because she's very well known, so she's kind of an example of what I mean. So my first advice I always start my folklore classes or lectures with is, if you really want to learn traditional dances or the culture, you must go there. In this case, of course, I talk about Egypt because that's what I focused on. But no matter what culture, you have to go there. You have to see it with your own eyes, feel it, meet with locals. It's a game changer for you as a dancer. Of course, it's not easy to just pack our bags and go to Egypt here and now, but definitely at least once. To see it, studying Egyptian folklore with people from the culture also allows us to accept the nuances, the stories, the hard sense of those traditions, because we are not living there. So it's hard from people from outside, to understand it without being there. So it's a journey of shared experiences and a kind of a cultural exchange that should enrich everyone involved. Maybe you know there's a band called El Tambura. They are focusing on Port Said region traditional music with simsimia and tambura instruments. And I've known them for ages. And I was dreaming to meet them live once in Egypt. And whenever I was going to Egypt, I always missed their concert. Like, I arrived to Cairo and their concert was the day before, and so on. I didn't have the luck for seeing them. And once I was lucky, and there was no plan for the evening, so we were staying at the hotel thinking like we're gonna relax, and then I found out that they're having a concert, so I right away went there. I was not on time, it was already going for a while, and then the end was coming and I'm like, oh my god, they didn't play the Friends of Bambuti song. Probably they played at the beginning and I will not hear it. And the last song they started to play with Simsimia, and I recognized the tune. I'm like, oh my god, it's coming. And they played it. And I started to cry because I was there. I could see them performing it. I could hear it. And I saw the connection with the audience. It's such a different experience, from listening it on Spotify and being there. So this is how it happens, the traditions. People are involved. Everyone is together and they share the moment. So if you are a dancer and are eager to dance folklore, it is necessary to know the background of it. I'm saying this from my own experience. When going to Egypt once changed my life completely, me as a dancer, as a teacher of dance and a human being. And I wish you can experience it as well. Also, it's not enough to simply dabble in the surface of Egyptian folklore. We must invest some time in educating ourselves about the culture, about the heritage and the background. And this knowledge is the foundation upon which we build our appreciation and understanding. So it might seem a bit difficult and maybe too ambitious, but believe me, I'm the example is possible. And of course, you don't have to know all the songs, all the lyrics and the rhythms and everything, but start step by step and it will be possible. So understanding the historical, social and geographical context of Egyptian folklore is essential. It helps us to see the roots of these traditions and their evolution over time. And it provides deeper appreciation. We must create our dance carefully to avoid culture appropriation, which often happens when elements of a culture are borrowed or imitated without understanding or respecting their true meaning. It is essential to be mindful of what we are taking from a culture and to acknowledge the origins of our inspiration, giving credit where it's due. We as the dancers doing Menat dances should understand that belly dance, oriental dance, rakshaki, different names, same thing, is social dancing. It is deeply, deeply connect with the culture and with people that live there. Even if we took it to the theater stages and tried to elevate it, which is kind of problematic, we cannot be blind about its origin. That's why I want to emphasize that we can't do a cherry picking here of what we like and shame the rest. So from the folklore, and thanks to the traditional musicians and artists, we have the music to dance to, for example. So please respect the culture as a whole. And I mean, really respect it. You don't have to like every single part of it. It's fine. And that we like something, we don't like something else. But there should be the respect at first. Dance plays a significant role in Egyptian society, urban or rural. And when we dance it, we must prioritize styling the movement rather than creating a parody. It's about learning how Egyptians feel the music, how they move naturally. Because we all know drops and shimmies, many dances, even the traditional dances, have same movement, but they look different. They have kind of a stylization of that region, of the group. But in this case, don't be inspired just by national truth, because they also did it several times, even there were good intentions, just saying. For example, and that's a very well-known story about the Nubian dance that the Reda troops did. And Mahmoud Reda said in an interview that he didn't know much about Nubian dancing because they were not sharing that much with him. So he created more of a fantasy, how he seen the Nubians, how they move, and what he felt like it should look like. But if you watch the old choreographies of the Nubian dancing and then the real Nubians in Egypt, you see there's a big difference. You know, even when I teach Nubian dances, I show the steps, I show the combinations and how maybe it varies from one another. But I always say, but that feeling, that stylization, I will never be able to learn. It's so personal to them. So he didn't want to make a parody, but somehow some of the choreographies looks like that. And I know that some Nubians are a bit laughing about it because, I mean, they don't take it seriously. They're just like, yeah, it's funny, you know. So, and also just to mention that it's a very strange thing going on, but some of the groups, even like today when I was interviewing them and young people, they get inspired from Reda. Even they know it's not really 100% Nubian, but they like what they see, what he did on the stage, and they get inspired from them. So it's a circle of strange inspiration going on. So the dance is a beautiful expression of culture. And when we dance, it's vital to honor the tradition, traditional movements and styles, and it's trying to showcase the true spirit of Egyptian folklore without turning it into caricature. In most cases, when Egyptians will see you dancing some of the folklore, they will be interested in you. They will most probably really enjoy what you're doing, especially when they see the good intention behind and when they see that you really try to understand or learn the culture. So Egyptian folklore is a diverse realm, and it's essential to avoid blending dance styles that are not related. This is what I want to speak about. For example, doing a fusion of a saidi from Upper Egypt with bamboutea from the Suez Canal area, this will lose the authenticity and will create something that does not make sense. So the bow dancers will just dissolve, you know? So while fusion can be a really exciting creative process, it's important to be cautious, especially when we are fusing or merging folklore styles. But for example, if Nubians would be fusing with Canal Suez, Swiss Canal dances, that would probably not happen naturally. These regions are so far away from each other. So try not to do it at all. So I was thinking once, let's do the choreography. We'll do a little bit of Malaya, and then the guys, sailors, will come on the stage and do the Simsimia, then we dance together. For me, it was a great idea. And then we went to the competition, and one Egyptian dancer told me, when I was going for his feedback, he told me, "Well, why did you put Melaya and Simsimia together?" And I'm like, "What? I mean, Alexandria, Port Said, not so far away from each other, you know, and could work out." And then I realized, okay, it's nonsense. I really didn't think about it. And I was already studying folklore for years. So it's like, but this is from different areas. It didn't meet together. So I understood that it was really, really strange to do it. And even it's so close by. So learn from my mistakes too. And even if you think it's fun and it looks good, you have to go back and, you know, to the culture, to the people, to the society. How does it work there? I want to mention also why to do the folklore, because many dancers have a dilemma about why we should do folklore of another culture. I mean, if I do it, maybe I do it wrong. What I want to say at first is it's very good that you're having these questions on your mind. If you would not have these questions on your mind, you would not care about the culture and about anything related. So believe me, having this dilemma is very much okay for you. You have to feel strong and sure about what is your why you're doing the folklore. If you want to do the folklore, do it because you cherish that culture and you like it and you want to appreciate it with your dance. There has to be good intentions behind. As we explore and embrace the culture of another, we must also support it back and be allies for the people from that culture. I really want to highlight this. So these people are often facing oppression and challenges by their society, by the culture, and so on and so on. So the culture exchange should be a two-way street. If we appreciate it and engage with the culture, we should also stand up as voices for the people of that culture, advocating for their rights and supporting their needs. I know it sounds difficult, but it's not. It is a very, very natural thing to do. Part of studying the cultures is giving back. How you can support dancers of the culture, taking their classes, going to their shows, hiring their musicians, and so on. Learn from them, meet them, go to Egypt. They are happy to share with you everything they do. So thank you for joining us together on this journey around or in Egyptian folklore. And remember, when we use the culture of one another, we have the responsibility to support each other, be allies for people of culture. And please keep exploring, keep learning. It is very beautiful to do so. While studying the folklore, you don't have to perform or compete in Egyptian folklore, but you will still learn a lot about the culture, and it will give you so much more inspiration for your rakşarki or fusion too, believe me. So it always gives you something when you go back to the basics and study with people and traditional artists. So yes, thank you very much. This is me sharing with you my ideas about Egyptian folklore. I hope you liked it. And I'll be happy if you reach me out with any questions or anything. So see you soon somewhere around the globe.